Hebrews 11 and verse number 23 down through verse number 29. We use the parable of the prodigal son as a springboard into this thought. One more. Jesus saying to the Pharisees, "You call these people that I receive and eat with sinners, but I say to you, they are lost." And in that parable, he talks about the 100 sheep, and one is lost. He's going after it. The 10 pieces of silver, one is lost. She's going to sweep until she finds it. Two sons. One is lost in the far country. The father's going to prepare and wait to look for that son to come home. We're emphasizing that as long as the church is in this world, God is still interested in the one more. But we're emphasizing the one who is won by love, and the one who is won by light. One, O-N-E, one, W-O-N, by love and by light. But to make application to your heart and mind, Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, but he has bestowed his love in us, his light is in us.
Amen. Amen.
So when the one comes in our direction, and he will send that one in our direction, he is sending them so that they might see that love and that light in the church, in you and me. So we need to keep the light on for the one that is gone. We need to keep our hearts filled every day and every way with the love of God. Because there's one, that it may not be your son. It could be. May not be your daughter. It could be. But I promise you that if you've got the light on and the love that is showing, there's going to be one that he's going to send in this direction, because that's why we're here.
Amen.
But I'm moving over with that same thought, thinking about here in Hebrews 11, verse 23 down through verse 29, about the one who was won by a life of faith. A life of faith. I'm thinking about Jesus when he said in the New Testament, "Will there be faith on earth when the Son of Man returns?" I want to say to you, if there's going to be faith when he gets here, somebody's going to have to be living by faith right now. And what I am going to emphasize is the effects and effects of faith upon this baby Moses, the one who was won by faith. And how God used his parents, Jochebed and Amram, and their faith to affect and affect his life that has come all the way down through the thousands of years and affected and affected our lives.
Amen.
The truth of faith is no one has ever been won to faith without someone who has lived by faith.
Amen.
And if there's going to be another who's going to believe, it's going to be because we have lived it. Let's look at these verses and emphasize this matter of the one who was won by faith. Verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was bold," it's not talking about his faith right there, it's talking about his mom and daddy's faith. was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why? Because of faith. By faith, now we pick up with Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had recompense, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, understand, this faith is the same faith that his mom and daddy had.
Sure.
Because there's not several faiths.
No.
There's not denominational faith and different religions as far as faith. Jude said, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And this faith was delivered to his mom and dad. And God used them to deliver it unto him. Notice this now. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Right.
It's amazing what faith can see. But he never saw a thing that his mom and daddy hadn't already seen.
Right.
Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Why were they drowned? They didn't have what Moses had. And that was faith. Faith cometh by hearing. There you go, brother. And hearing by the word of God. Faith is the victory, the Bible said, that overcometh the world. Paul emphasized this matter of faith when he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
And we know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the Bible said, the just shall live by faith. Now we have in our text, as we have read to you, a baby that has been born. Now, as far as the account of what's happened in Egypt, this would not have happened and could not have happened unless someone had had faith. I was at the doctor's office a few years back. I noticed he had a picture there on his table, his desk, in his office. Kind of strange to me that he had about 6 or 7 children, looked like stair steps from 20 years on down to probably 10. And then at the end down there, there was a lad that looked like he was about 2 years old, coming all the way down, then it dropped about 2 feet. I was curious, and I said to him, sir, how come? What happened? He said, well, I went home from the office one day, and my wife told me when I walked through the door, said, we're missing one. He said, missing one what? She said, one child. He said, I looked around, they was all wadded up everywhere, and I started counting them. And he said, they was all there. He said, they're all here. She said, no, we're supposed to have one more. And he said, that's where that one come from? Well, I want to say to you, according to reason and common sense, Moses should not have been. The law has already been sent forth by the king to kill all the children, the male children. Right. Well, they've already got two younguns. They've got a perfect family. They've got Miriam and they've got Aaron. So wouldn't it have been reasonable just to have said, you know, we got two, and besides that, we don't want to birth another son into this world, because if we do, he's going to end up being in bondage and slavery just like the rest of us. Be better off just to forget about that. But the reason why they couldn't forget is that God had one more in mind that he was sending in that direction. And can I say to you again, I'm glad that God's got one more in mind.
Amen.
The church needs that one more. Yes. Where would Israel have been without that one more? And aren't you glad that God's got a plan to reach the one more? But it'll not only involve love and involve light, but it'll involve someone who's living a life of faith.
Yes, yes.
Because without this life of faith, Moses would have never been the man of God and man of faith that he was. Now, I just want to emphasize two or three things in the dark by faith about this birth of Moses, the one who was won by faith. Now, I want to say to you, I talk about this faith once delivered unto the saints. The scripture tells us about keeping our faith. Paul said, I kept the faith.
Right.
And we ought to keep this faith that was delivered. When we think about everything that our forefathers of the faith have went through to get that faith to us, we don't need to be taking it lightly. You need to keep it. But it also said it was a faith that was once delivered. We not only need to keep our faith, but along the journey, what we need to realize is we are the delivering people of faith.
Yes.
That if anybody else gets faith, it's going to be because someone else has lived faith.
Amen. Exactly.
Because faith is received, as I've said, from the Word of God. And a heart of faith will constantly give the Word of God, and that Word of God will ignite faith in somebody else's heart. Amen. And that's what's happened right here.
Amen.
So as we go along, we keep our faith, but we deliver our faith. We keep our faith, and we deliver our faith. That's what you and I have done with our children, what we're doing with our grandchildren. The whole reason why these two are down here, yes, we want to be with them. But we want to put them in the right atmosphere.
Amen.
To where this faith can be ignited in their hearts and delivered to them. Because I got news for you. You ain't going to need this faith when you're done on this earth. Did you know there are some things that are very vital to the Christian faith in this world that ain't worth a hill of beans once you get to heaven? You say, well, what are they? One's hope. You ain't going to need no hope when you get to heaven. Why do you hope? For what you see, for what a man sees. Why does he yet hope for it? Good news, you ain't going to need no hope in heaven. It's become a reality. You ain't going to live by faith in heaven. Hey, some things you don't need to try to take with you. You just need to make sure that you've delivered it before you leave this world.
Amen.
Deliver some hope and deliver some faith so you know that once you've exited out of here, what you've got ain't going to die somewhere. It's going to live on.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, the first thing I want to suggest to you is that in the birth of Moses, this one who was won by faith, in the birth of Moses, Jochebed and Amram, if you go to the Old Testament, that's their names. Through Moses, they were able to experience their faith. The truth of the matter is, faith is not some abstract feeling or emotion. But faith is a substance. And what God will do in the lives of His children is what He did in Jochebed and Amram. Is He will birth something in your life that you will forever have to believe Him for. And what He births in your life becomes the experience of your faith. Something comes alive. She receives something from God. And faith is a gift that comes from God.
Amen, sir. Thank
you. But that faith ain't doing you a lick of good unless He gives you something you got to believe Him for. So what He does is He brings and He gives her a baby that she's going to have to believe Him for. From that day on, she takes that little old Moses and she said, "Oh God, I thank you for sending him my way. And Lord, I'm going to protect him. I ain't afraid of that king. I'm going to make an ark, a basket, and a box. I'm going to put him down in the Nile River and I'll turn him loose. Because I believe he's your child. And you imagine a faith." You see, faith is that revelation in which God makes a reality. That it becomes something that's not just a heavenly term, but it becomes an earthly reality. It's something you can go pick up out of the bed. It's something you can walk in this and that direction. It is something that you will experience. Every time she feeds this baby, she's experiencing her faith. She's got to believe God. Every time she bathes this baby, she is experiencing her faith. She's got to believe God. Every time she feeds, whatever anything has to do with this baby, it is an exercise of her faith. But it's not just her. The Bible talks about the faith. By faith, Noah, and what became the revelation and the reality of his faith, we don't just look back and say, well, Noah had faith. No, we know Noah had faith because God gave him not a baby, but an ark. But he did the same thing in his heart that he did in her heart. He birthed an ark into Noah, a great big old baby. That Noah was going to labor for 100. That ark became the experience of his faith. Somebody said, I have faith. I tell you how you know you got faith. Man, I'm liking preaching in the dark. I tell you how you know you got faith. Is that there's something alive in your heart and life.
Yes.
That God Almighty has birthed in you. And you're believing Him for it every day. You're having to believe God for it. And it's alive. It's bouncing around. It's living. It's got motion. It's real. It's tangible. It's close.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
It's real. Living. Something that's alive. Now, no way, better way to illustrate that than my own self. Pastored for 22 years in the mountains of North Carolina, and that was my baby at that time. God birthed it in my heart. One day he came to me while I was preaching, and I had told that church I was going to live and die that I wanted to. But the Lord came to me, Brother Lester, and he handed me a baby. And he said, here, I want you to go into evangelism. I said, no. But I don't recommend that. Because what happens is that baby gets to kicking in the middle of the night. And all you mamas know that's had babies, long before anybody else sees that baby, it's kicking and rolling and turning and everything on the inside. until finally I yielded and I said, oh God, this baby's going to kill me if I don't surrender. I'm going to have to let it be born. And thank God the birth of evangelism took place in my heart.
Amen.
And the reason why I was having such a time is I was a-fearing and I was worried. I said, Lord, there's no way I can go. I can't preach enough to even eat. I'll have to make a sign that says, we'll preach for food. I mean, I didn't believe it. I said, Lord, I don't know how I'll make it. He said, you'll make it if you believe me for the baby.
Yes.
And I tell you, I stepped out that day with the baby. And for all these years now, it's been 20 years. And every time I stand and preach, you know what I'm doing? I'm experiencing my baby all over again. Amen. Trusting God for the next door to open up. Trusting God for the next meal that I'll eat. Trusting God for the next bill that I'll have to pay. But thank God my baby's been alive and kicking.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Drive down the road. Get a little quiet. My wife will say, what's wrong with you? You ain't talking. I said, well, the baby's moving. I got something working. I'm going to have to deliver it tonight. I want to be ready for the baby. Honey, the way you know you've got faith is something's alive that you're believing God for.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, Moses is not only alive, but Moses is divine. This ain't just anybody. And I'm going to tell you, a work of faith in your heart is not just some kind of orthodox work. But this is God doing a work in your heart.
Yes, sir.
And did you notice in the text there where it said they saw he was a proper child? They realized God's hand was on it. But I tell you one even better than that. If you go to Acts chapter number 7, and it is there that Stephen is given the history of Israel. And as he's giving that history of Israel, he's talking about the birth of Moses. And he doesn't say it's a perfect child. When they looked at that child, what's my word, honey? I need it. You remember it? What is that word? I need my flashlight now. Huh? Somebody help me out with it. Exceeding fair. Exceeding fair. I got it. I got it. By faith, I got it. So they looked at Moses and said he was exceeding fair. Now, I got my Strong's out and I looked at that word exceeding. I'm going to tell you, I was blown away. Did you know that that word exceeding is the word theos? Look it up. The same word that is translated God 1,300 times is translated exceeding. In other words, when they looked at Moses, a work of faith, the only thing they could say was theos. God. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me they thought they'd birthed God? No. But when they looked at Moses, they saw a work of God.
Amen.
You'll know that you're experiencing faith not only when you've got something's alive, but when you've got something that is so divine that the only answer for it is God. How many times in your life have you had to stand back and the only word for what you just saw was God? That was God.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to ask you something. What would you have said when you seen Moses throw that rod down and it become a snake? You wouldn't have hauled off and said Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian. You'd have had to say Theos.
That's God. That's God.
With all of those plagues, the only answer is God. And when he split that Red Sea, the only word that you could say was God. And I'm going to tell you, when he led the children of Israel across and the manna came down, everything had one term that would go with it.
I'm going to tell you
something, and nobody else can do it.
Amen.
And every time Moses did anything, there's only one explanation for it, and that's God. Well, I ask you something. What is it right now in your life that there's only one explanation for it, and that is God? Theos! And if that is the case, what you're getting to do is what she got to do. She got to experience. And that's what I want to do. I love experiencing my faith. That is when it becomes a reality. Are you hearing me? God is the only answer for it.
Thank you.
Amen.
I was telling Brother Lester, I was preaching a few months back in April. At the end of the service, it was an elderly gentleman. Later found out he was 91 years old. He came up to me and I was standing about like I am right now at the end of the service. And he said, I'd like to say something. I said, well, brother, I'm not the pastor. He's standing right there. You go talk to him. He went over and spoke to him a little bit. After I'd sat down, the pastor brought him up there and said, this gentleman wants to say something. He stood up and he said, the Lord has sent me by to testify. He said, I got saved last year. And I was 90 years old. And he said, I told the Lord, anything you want me to do, I'll do. And he said, God told me that he wanted me to tell everybody that I come in contact with that he saved me at 90. And if he could save me at 90, he could save anybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want you to know as he began to testify and I looked into those eyes, the only thing I could say was, God,
yes.
Exceeding fair. Yes. And as we look at the faith that God gives the saints, it has the very stamp of God on it.
Amen.
So that we'll know that only God could do that. So I say to you, this one more by faith allows Jochebed and Amram to experience their faith. But can I say to you that this one more, Moses, by faith allows Jochebed and Amram to express their faith. Express their faith. I got to noticing in those early verses where it tells us about the parents, how they didn't fear the king, and how that they, by faith, hid Moses. And as I read down through that text, it shifted gears and it went to Moses himself. But it's as if it didn't shift. Because it then begins to list the things in Moses' life. How that he rejected Egypt. How he refused to be the king's daughter, son. And how that he refused the throne. How that he turned his back on Egypt. And how he pursued the people of God. And how he did not fear, and how he chose, and how he led the children of Israel by faith, and how he parted the Red Sea, and how that it was he that established the Passover. And when I began to look at Moses and his faith, what I realize is, it's the same thing that his mom and daddy had. But somebody said, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. I did not know that my faith would have any effect or effect on somebody else's faith. Well, if you read what Paul said to Timothy, he said, Timothy, I've seen your faith before. He said, I saw it in your mama. I saw it in your grandmama. And I witnessed it in thee also. Honey, I'm going to tell you, this thing of faith didn't just arise in the last few years. But it's been going for thousands of years, that same faith that's been birthed in one heart, and because they live by faith, God used it to birth it in somebody else's heart so that they could live by faith. So what Moses is doing is he's living like his mom and daddy lived. He's living by faith. And it has had this tremendous effect.
Yes, sir.
I want you to know that when I leave this old world, they close the lid. If Jesus don't come, I don't want that to be the end of me.
Right.
But I want this life of faith to live on in my sons and in my daughters and in my grandchildren. I want it to be as much alive in them as it is in me. Because of this matter of the expression of faith. In other words, you can't talk about Moses' faith without talking about his mom and daddy's faith.
Right.
You can't talk about their faith without talking about the boy's faith. Because it is one and the same. Which lays upon us the weightiness of realizing the importance of living by faith. If we want somebody else to be saved, then they got to be saved by grace through faith.
That's right.
Then we're going to have to live it today so that they can embrace it tomorrow and hand it off to the generations, thank God, that are yet to be, so that when Jesus comes, I want to do everything right now to make sure there's going to be faith. If it's 100 years or 1,000 years from now. Because I want that faith to live through me, that it can touch somebody else and it can live through them. The very expressions of my faith. And I say to you that everything I am by faith is because of somebody else who touched my life by faith. I'm thinking about the old time preachers. I'm thinking about Joe Parsons.
Oh, Lord.
I'm thinking about Dick Limble from West Virginia. I'm thinking about Harold Seidler there in Greenville, South Carolina. And on I go. But I'm going to tell you, the strange thing is, in the midst of my preaching, there are times when I feel like the spirit of Joe Parsons is on me. There are times I feel like the spirit of Dick Limble is on me. There are times I feel like the spirit of Harold Seidler is on me. There are times when I feel like the spirit of those old saints that I first pastored up on Roaring Creek is on me, who live by faith. And I will tell you, everything I do by faith, I do it because of somebody else who did it by faith, and it has affected me. He said, Timothy, your mama has affected you by faith, and your grandmama has affected you by faith, but I promise you, somebody else's faith had affected them also, so that as we come along, that it seems as though that we are an expression of those who express their faith to us. As we believed on Christ, as they believed on Christ. And those same truths were birthed in our hearts and in our lives. Thank God, I want you to know, we can't express beyond ourselves.
That's right.
The very faith that has been born inside of us.
Amen.
I've got two boys that's preachers. So if they bury me, they ain't going to shut me up. They're Amen. Preaching the gospel. I got these youngins that are singing these songs of Zion. So if they shut me and Mama E up, it's too late. The faith has done took hold of somebody else. Now I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, I'll tell you, this old world's got so much more to offer our children. I want to tell you that this world don't have no more to offer your children than what Egypt had to offer Moses.
Right. Right.
Offered him everything, and faith turned it all down.
Amen.
I don't care what hell or high water the devil has to offer. Faith is the victory that will overcome this world.
Amen.
But this faith has to be delivered.
Thank you, Lord, my God.
Now, that's pretty good preaching in the dark. Now, preacher meeting up around the Chattanooga area. I went in there One morning, a morning service, Esther and I did sit in the back. Only had one aisle like this, a long church. Right in the middle of that service, the Lord began to bless, and in heavenly terms began to erupt. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. There was an old preacher that used to pastor that church, and I got to know him about 5 or 6 years before he died. Much of a man of God, Berman Cake was his name, preached all over that area up there. Time I got there, a young man had taken over the church, and he respected that old man and kept him right up there on the platform and had him sing and preach and everything. But he passed away. His wife is still a member of that church, and she's either 90 or pushing. But I'm telling you, she's a woman that has glory in her heart and soul. Not very talkative, very quiet, very precious. But I'll tell you, the Lord gets a hold of her, watch out. She don't care where she's at because she loses touch with this world and enters into another world. And I remember one night I was sitting there and I was looking and it, and people were rejoicing everywhere. And she came out of that pew right there and she began to throw this hand up and throw this hand up and both hands up and began to praise the Lord. Well, it wasn't about a minute. Her son, who was also a pastor, at that time about 70 years old, he's in heaven also now, was sitting about 6 pews in front of her. He didn't know she was rejoicing back there. You couldn't tell. I mean, there's so many people rejoicing. But he jumped up and he started praising God. I reached over and I said, "Honey, watch him. He's 3 pews in front of her, and every move she makes, he makes. It's like you're looking at 2 people being moved by the same string. She'd throw her hand up, he'd have his hand up. She'd throw this arm up, he'd throw this arm up. She'd step forward, he'd step forward." I mean, every action that she had, he had, and he wasn't even looking at her, didn't even know, she's shouting. Somebody said, "How'd that happen?" I tell you, it's very easy. She carried him for 9 months in the womb and he felt every move she had. Because, honey, she shouted back then. You can see her going through the living room saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." He's just bouncing around on the inside. He knew what that's all about. Then it's a little old boy sitting in the sawdust in those camp meetings that his daddy used to preach. He'd look up and see her shouting. He didn't know what that's all about, but he noticed and watched. And then probably, I never asked him, as a 16-year-old boy, got a little embarrassed and probably said, "Now watch Mama, she's going to shout. She'll raise this hand first and raise that," not knowing that that's being birthed in him. And then one day, that pure gospel of faith got a hold of his heart, and he got born of faith. And thank God what was alive in her was alive in him. And he began to express everything that she had expressed in him.
Amen.
Because faith had been delivered.
Amen.
Now can you imagine, I heard in my last thought, but can you imagine? She has received Moses from the Lord, experiencing him. Now she's going to raise Moses for the Lord and express her faith. She got him her lot in time, but she's only got a limited time to work with him. But it's evident she done a good job. She sat him down, no doubt, as a little old boy and said, "Now, Moses, honey, look at me. Look at me. I want you to repeat after me. Jehovah." Say Jehovah, Moses. Moses, would you say Elohim? Moses, would you say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's your grandparents, Moses. And Moses, all these people down here that you and I take you around visit, they are God's people. Now, Moses, they're going to take you back down into Egypt. They're going to put you on thrones and everything else. But that ain't who you are. Moses, I want you to know that God promised your great-grandfather that we were going to come down to Egypt. We were going to get into bondage. But he promised that he was going to send a deliverer. And Moses, I believe you're going to be the deliverer. God's going to raise you up, boy. He's going to use you to deliver. But she said, Moses, you ain't the only deliverer. I want you to know that his promise says going to be another deliverer. You're the deliverer, deliverer out of Egypt. But there's coming one like you. That's going to be the Messiah that's going to deliver the world.
Amen.
That's why the Bible tells us that he speaks of his respect unto Christ. He knew who Christ was and he looked and saw him who was invisible. How in the world did he see all of that? He saw it by the same faith that his mama had, praise God. And for the rest of his life, he expressed that faith.
Yes, sir.
I want that faith to still be operating when I'm long gone.
Yes.
And I believe that it will.
Sure.
So I'm saying to you, this one who is won by faith is that baby that allows her to experience her faith. It's that baby that allows her to express her faith. I'll say to you lastly that Moses is that baby that allows her to extend her faith.
Amen.
Because it is through Moses we understand the eternality of faith. Know this, that anything that is done by faith will not cease in time, but we will face it in heaven because it will be a divine work.
Amen.
That's why if you're saved and you've been saved by faith, you're going to heaven. You can't go nowhere else. You've got a divine work and they can't close. You won't end in time. You are eternal.
Yes.
And this very work that she's doing, I don't know how long she lived. I don't know whether it was till she was 80 or whatever it may have been. But it really makes no difference because what was put in this boy would never die.
Thank you.
You said, well, how do you know that faith works like that? That it just keeps on working and working. Well, think about this man, this baby, this boy, by the name of Moses. Where would this world be? Now, she, listen to me. She affected and affected Moses for 120 years. But Moses has affected and effected this world all the way down until this day.
Yes, sir.
Where would we be without a Moses and the first five books of the Bible?
Right.
We still preach about all of those plagues and all of those miracles. Where in the world would we be without the Ten Commandments? I heard a fellow on television here a while back, a politician or whatever, very ignorant. It was back there in the time when he was trying to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse.
Yeah.
Judge Moore.
Yeah.
They asked him, they said, well, why are you so against and do you want the Ten Commandments taken out of the courthouse? He said, well, I'm just afraid of what kind of a negative effect it'll have on our children.
Yeah.
I mean, like, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Don't sound like you could be too negative with that. But aren't you glad that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments?
Sure, man.
You say, why? Because it's the law that's the schoolmaster that brought us to Christ. We couldn't even get to Jesus. Had it been for Moses that pointed us to him. And it has had that effect that has come all the way down even to this hour. That faith, that same faith lives in you and in me that has lived in our forefathers. And thank God it will live through everything that has ever been done. Are you hearing me? By faith will be witnessed in eternity. Because it is an eternal work of God Almighty.
Amen.
Now let me give you that. Let me give you the point of this. If there's going to be one, if you take faith out of this text, you've done away with Moses.
That's right.
Now, I don't know how you explain all that, as the old mountain field said, but there ain't going to be no Moses. There ain't going to be no miracles if there's no faith. But this faith has got to come from somewhere, and you know where it comes from? It comes from another heart that it's been born into. What I want to say to you is that if your children are going to experience this faith in Christ,
yes,
they're going to have to see it in us.
Yes.
And if they're going to live, if they're going to believe God for the tomorrows that they're going to face long after we're gone, we're going to have to live by faith today. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
He's one who is won by faith. And everyone that's ever been won has been won because they've been touched by somebody else's faith that was touched by somebody else's faith that was touched by somebody else's faith. But it was all the same faith that was once delivered unto the saints, but it got into the heart because of the gospel, and it lived.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Living by faith.
Yeah.
Keep your faith. Keep your faith.
Yeah.
But at the same time, make sure you deliver your faith.
Yes, sir.
I want to see it alive. I want to see it alive. Somebody said, we was talking about this today. I didn't hear someone say, well, you know, I believe Moses is a Christian. He made a profession the other day. Well, I know it involves a profession and a confession. But honey, if it ain't something that's alive and divine, it ain't not worth no more than a baptismal certificate or anything like that. I'm not interested in my grandyoungs being able to say they made a profession.
Right.
I'm interested in God bringing out something alive.
Amen.
That I'll be able to sit down and fellowship with them. And can you imagine? I know Moses got to talk to his mama after it's all over with, but can you imagine him and his mama sitting there?
Yeah.
Man, what a Holy Ghost conversation. Mama, I remember you telling me about Jehovah. I remember you telling me about Elohim. I remember you telling me about my grandpa. It didn't mean a lot to me then. I tell you, I listen to what, but one day when I come of age, there come the revelation of faith and ignited in my heart. And I was sick and tired in this old world. I said, I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, they could have some fellowship. Hey, Mom, have you seen my rod? Look at that, Mom. God gave me that when I was up on the mountain. Now, I don't know if she is alive or not. I doubt it after that many years, but I'm just preaching. Let me preach a while and imagine. He's an old woman, but I'm preaching my faith. Mom, look at this rod. You wouldn't believe what God does through faith. I don't know. She may have got the news that he's leaving town. Somebody said, your boy's in trouble. I said, what is it? Well, he was down there calling them Egyptians, or calling them children of Israel, God's people, and said he was sick and tired of eating. He was joining up, and he got in a fight down there. Killed one of them boys. Now he's having to run from the king. He said, well, this ain't the first time he's had to run.
Yeah.
I put him in the Nile River.
Yes.
Let him alone. God will take care of him. It may take him 10 years. It may take him 40 years. It may, who knows. But faith. I put something in an old boy's heart that'll go out there at the backside of the desert and wallow around on the inside of him till God speaks. Boom.
Boom.
I don't come to preach to you tonight hoping I can do a thing on earth to change you, and I wouldn't do it if you'd pay me.
Yeah.
But I have confidence that there's power in the word of faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That you may be out on a tractor somewhere where it gets a wallowing around in you. And I'm going to tell you that revelation becomes a reality and you'll be ruined for this old world.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Because faith will cause you to sort of act like mama and grandma. But what it does is it takes you all the way back to Jesus.
Yes.
The divine work in the heart.
Yes.
I close with this. Used to be a preacher there in Charlotte, very gracious man. I never met a person but heard him preach on the radio when I was very young. Heart full. He was preaching on one Sunday morning. I was driving home from church. I was 19 years old, and that little Volkswagen had the radio on. And he was preaching. It was football season. Bear with me. And he was preaching on the faith once delivered unto the saints. And he made a comparison. He said, you know, in football, it comes a fourth down. And he said, you got two choices. You either kick it or you run it. But he said, if you kick it, you've lost it. And he went back all the way to Abel, picked up with that faith. Brought it all the way down through the Old Testament, brought it all the way through the New Testament. Brought it down to the Apostle Paul. That faith once delivered unto the saints. He said there come a fourth down in Paul's life that is fixing to take him according to history. It's correct. Have him beheaded. And of course, we realize Paul was wanting to head home anyway. He'd been carrying that faith for a long time. He said, I kept it. But he said when they took him around, as he was rounding the curve to go get his head cut off, he said while he was going, said he, it was a fourth down. He said while he was going, said he lateraled that ball back to Timothy. And he said, Timothy, run that ball, boy, run that ball. That's what Moses did. He run that ball right into eternity. May God take these truths of faith birthed in our heart. Let us live them out so that others can hear and see and be one by our faith. If they're one, they'll be one by our faith.
Thank you.
Now, do we know living by faith?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
By heart?
Yes, sir. I got some light.
Well, you got some light. I give you this while she's getting ready. I was preaching out in Mississippi several years ago. The preacher that I was preaching for took me out to eat, and another gentleman came with him, whom I did not know. We sat there and talked for a while, and he said, preacher, you don't know me, do you? And I said, no, sir, I can't think of where I might have met you. He said, do you remember years ago preaching at Martintown Baptist Church here in Mississippi? I said, well, yeah, I preached several meetings there. He said, do you remember one night preaching on those two words that Jesus used to get a hold of Matthew? You said, Jesus said, and you read it in the text, follow me, and that's all he said. And the way you worded it, you said back in the mountains of North Carolina, said the way the old timers up there would phrase that, they wouldn't say follow me, they'd say come here. Come here. He said, when you said that, I was sitting there lost, and he said, the Holy Ghost said to me, come here. He said, conviction hit me, and he said, after the service is over, said, I went out, I was getting out of there as quick as I could, and he said, I turned that knob on that door, and it squeaked, and it said, come here. Said, I went out and started the truck, and said, when I hit the engine, it said, come here. He said, I went all the way to the house and said, everything said, come here. And said, I couldn't stand it no more. And I thought, I'm going to head back to that church. I hope somebody's there. And he said, I drove back to the church. And he said, the preacher was locking the door. said, yeah, the preacher preached and said, come here, and I'm coming here. I need to get saved. He said, I got saved. But he said, preacher, since then, the Lord has called me to preach.
Amen.
And it's been pastoring out there. I'm going to go preach for him. Somebody said, what's that all about? Well, that's that faith wants delivered unto the saints.
Amen.
And you just keep on delivering it. So they can see Christ high, lifted up, and they can deliver it to somebody else.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's sing. Living by faith. Just like you. I said, hallelujah. That's what I am thinking. I hope they keep on doing it.
Amen.